Hello and welcome. We're pleased to have you tuned in to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett.
Will you be someone who says, God, help me to be a person of integrity?
If you had to identify a person of integrity, what would you be looking for? Integrity is having one identity and being upright in character. A person's integrity is shaped by how they do the little things that nobody sees. Tonight, Dr. Corbett does a character study on David as he looks at integrity.
Integrity has to do with wholeness. And I hope that you will begin to see that integrity is the most foundational issue to leadership. And each of us will be called to lead. The fact that you're a Christian means that you are called to lead. Integrity means being wholly true. You are whole. In mathematics, we talk of integers or fractions. We talk of whole numbers or part numbers. An integer is a whole number. A person of integrity is a whole person. That's what integrity is. It means having one identity. You're not someone when you come to church on Sunday, and then on a Monday, you become someone else. It comes from that word integer, meaning one. It means that you have an upright character. In other words, your motives are pure. You can be trusted because your motives are pure. Now, I want to talk about one man's journey to integrity. So this is taken from Psalm 78, and it's Psalm 78 is a bit of the history of Israel, and it culminates in King David. And this is what it says of him. It says, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them." And in that verse, we have this statement that David became a man of integrity. It culminates there, but let me tell you, when David became king, he was not there. He was on his way there. And that should encourage each one of us to realize that the mistakes that we've made in the past, God can actually use those things to make us stronger and better and more courageous than we were when we started out on the journey. Notice that a person of integrity, a person who commits to being a person of integrity, that is, you're one person who does the right thing. You're not pretending to be a Christian when you come into church on Sunday and then going out and being a scoundrel. You are who you are all the time. It says in Acts, and it highlights the fact that if you become a person of integrity, there is something about you that attracts the attention of God. It says here, "And when he had removed him," that's King Saul, "God raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart," or a man after my own heart, "who will do all my will." So a person of integrity attracts the favour and attention of God. It brings you closer to God. And I tell you, it's one of the prayers of my heart. So David was on a journey. We're introduced to David as a shepherd boy who played his harp for King Saul. Before that, we're just given a little glimpse that David was one of eight children, and he was the runt of the litter. He's distinguished from his six or seven brothers or sisters, and he's recorded as last. And it looks like David was the result of his father's indiscretion. In other words, it looks like David was the result of an affair that his father Jesse had. And so there was always David and his brothers. He was not considered to be legitimate. And that, again, should give you hope. Now, notice that we have the next episode in David's life is where he fights Goliath. You remember that story? And we want to have a look at some of the episodes in that story. You remember in 1 Samuel 17 that King Saul is looking for someone to go and fight the Philistines' champion, which was Goliath. And it tells you there that Goliath was 6 cubits and a span, probably around about 9 feet tall. There was something supernatural about his origin. And as we read in this, that the shaft of his spear, it says, was like a weaver's beam, so it was huge. and he was a huge, huge man. And none of the Hebrews had the courage to go and take him on. And Goliath would come out, we read in verse 10, and he would say this, he would announce this, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David, the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons, in the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. And so we read how David heard of this challenge by the king, by King Saul, who will go and fight. And so we have the account that David was sent down to supply food and drink to his brothers. And it says he took provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And it says, as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. "I defy you, Israel, and I defy your God," was essentially what he was saying. And the men of Israel, when they saw him, fled and were very much afraid. Well, except one young man. He's about, at this point, he's around 17 years of age. 17-year-old young man hearing where the butch, strong warriors of Israel were cowering, and you get the picture. And notice this, I want you to see this. Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxation in Israel. Remember, hear those three things? The king will enrich him, give his daughter, and exempt him from taxation. What do you reckon the 17-year-old boy heard of those three things? And this becomes a clue. A person's integrity often will disintegrate over these three things. And if we could call taxation, exempt from taxation, being some kind of fame or glory, you'll see that a person's integrity, and if you're a girl, you can flip this to a guy, but you got the picture. We could use the word sex, but unfortunately sex doesn't start with G, and I want all three of these to start with G, but you got the idea. A person's integrity will often disintegrate over girls. Now, I'll tell you what, we as Christians need to have a sacred view of God's plan for sexual activity. And when you don't, you're the one who gets harmed. And it will destroy your soul if it is left unchecked. A person's integrity often disintegrates over girls. And that's AKA sex. A person's integrity will often disintegrate over gold. The king will enrich the man who defeats this giant. Gold. And a person's integrity will often disintegrate over glory, fame, attention. Now notice this, David asks the question. It says, David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now, David's really going, the king will enrich, free from tax. What's the king going to do? Someone say, "Daughter, girl, give, give me a sword. I'm in." He was wanting to check this out. Now, Eliab, it says, verse 28, his eldest brother heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down?" Notice this. "And with whom have you left those few sheep?" That's a backhanded slap. That is, you're nothing. Who do you think you are? You're just a 17-year-old kid. Where have you left those few sheep? We're men. We're out here fighting. David, of course, goes, fighting? War? What war? What fight? No one's taking it up to him. So you can see the tension that's happening here in this scene. And we're seeing the makings of someone the Bible describes as the greatest leader. No one was given the attribute in Scripture that David was given as one of the greatest leaders. But can you see from the foundation here? There's David being mocked by his older brother. And I suspect the fact that David was out looking after the sheep all by himself so often says that he was treated in a certain way by his brothers, probably treated in a certain way by his father. His father probably saw him as a reminder of his shame. So David was someone who craved acceptance. He craved it. And this is a real issue. A person's integrity can be tested by who they look to for acceptance. Who do you look to for acceptance? I've met people who have phenomenal character breaches of their integrity, because you can't thank them enough. You can't pat them on the back enough. Nothing you say, nothing you do gives them the acceptance they crave. This is a real problem. And we see this exhibited in David's life, these few sheep. I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. What battle? What battle is going on here? We've got people who have the title, they have the weaponry, they have the position, but they aren't doing the job. And I've discovered God will always raise up someone who's prepared to have a go. Prepared to have a go over those of us, people in my position, who are paid professional clergymen, pastors. We're supposed to be able to know how to lead people to Christ. Doesn't mean we always do it. And God will use people who are prepared to do it before. God will use people like me who just talk about it a lot. And are you prepared to let God use you? Now, Eliab, his brother, this is that verse. I really want to emphasize it. For you have come down to see the battle. Why have you come down? So his questions, his motive is being questioned. Now, notice this. That quite possibly David's interest in taking on Goliath was provoked because of the king's offer. I will give you my daughter. I'll give you my daughter. Notice David's response. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the living God? Gee, that sounds religious, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound awesome? But what's he thinking? I get a girl. So it sounds really good. In fact, it looks really good. And most people portray this as something really good. And in the end, it was a really good thing he did. It looks really, really good. And here's the deal. 99% devotion to God looks to most people like 100%. It really does. It looks really good. It's very, very impressive. And so here's David's offer to the king. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And it's interesting that David tells the king, I'm qualified to do this. Notice the last part of that screen there. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. When there came a lion or a bear who took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and rescued that sheep. So David was faithful in the little things. This is a part of becoming a person of integrity. You may crave to be used by God, and I hope you do. I really hope you do. There are a lot of people who say, oh, God never answers my prayer, and I just can only imagine you're not praying the right prayers. Try this one. God, use me. God, have your way in my life. God, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. Lord, use me however you see fit. You start praying like that and tell me God doesn't answer that prayer. But can I say something very strong? how many of us will have the guts to pray a prayer like that? And I think David did. And the opening of God answering that prayer, the beginning of that prayer being answered, was his father sending him out to look after a bunch of sheep. His 20, 30, 40, 50 sheep, go and look after them. Come back in 2 months when they're fattened up and they've got a bit of fleece on them. Come back then. A menial task. Being a shepherd was the lowest of low jobs. You stank, you were out in the cold, you had to fend against lions and bears. It was hard. And David did it. And David says, because I've done this, and I've done it since I was a lad, I'm qualified to take on this giant. God will often prepare you for the bigger things in life by first taking you through small doors. And so a person's character is shaped by how they do the little things that nobody sees. You're out at night, you're protecting a bunch of sheep, no one sees you, no one knows you're doing it. It was then that David probably would have written Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? We have this exchange where he says, if one arose against me, I caught him by its beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Wow. Go and do this. And this is a part of integrity. It's being fit for a particular purpose. You see, David actually was qualified to sling a stone, throw a spear. He was, because he'd done it. He'd been trained to do it. In fact, if you try and do something for God you have no training, no preparation, no ability in, you are not being a person of integrity. You see, God will fit you for a particular purpose, and for you it will be easy. God's given you gifts for a particular ability or purpose, and for you not to use it is to breach your integrity. So character really is the ability to meet the demands of reality. This is what Henry Cloud says. So we come back into this passage, and King Saul offers David his armor. And David says, here we have it in verse 39, I can't use your armor and I can't use your weapons because I haven't tested them. So a person of integrity has learned to fight their own battles with their own armor, with their own weapons. Very, very important. You may hear how to fight battles. You may hear how others did it, but it may not be how you do it. A person of integrity will learn to fight using their own weapons. So battles are necessary to fight wars. And if you want to be a victorious Christian, in other words, if you want to win battles, there's only one thing you must have in order to win battles. Battles. If you want to be a victorious Christian, the only way you can be a victorious Christian is to have something to gain victory over. So battles and testing are essential for developing integrity. God ordains every battle you face in life to make you into the person that he wants you to be. It will form your character. And David had his character, his strengths, that enabled him to become a man of integrity. He learned to be humble. He learned, okay, I'll just go and look after a few sheep and I'll do it to the best of my ability. And how could he have possibly known that that was the very thing God was using to make him the king of Israel? So a person's character is enhanced by their humility. I will go and serve my father. He goes to King Saul. I am your servant. He learned to serve. And he was correctable. We could remember the time when whenever a prophet came to David to correct him, every time David received it. Stands in stark contrast to what we see in the ministry of Jeremiah that we've been looking at in the mornings. So every time a prophet came to David to correct him, he received that correction. But we see when David slew Goliath, there were weaknesses there. See, what should David, if David was perfect without any fault, you know what he should have done? He should have said, don't give me anything. I don't want your girl. I don't want your money. I don't want you to exempt my family from tax. All I want to do is go and honour God. That's what should have been in his heart. I want to serve you, pastor, in this church because you'll promote me and you'll give me recognition and you'll pat me on the back and you'll continually highlight me to the church, and that's why I want to serve in this church. If I hear that, I'm going, you're not going to be serving the way you want to serve until you learn what servanthood looks like. So David had character issues that were unattended to. Now get this, this little passage here to me, knowing that David became the greatest leader the Bible records, but this passage, this episode is one of the saddest two verses in the Bible to me. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal." I haven't got time to tell you the background of this, and it's really not my point, but get what's happening here. "And has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent and spoke to Abigail, Nabal's former wife, now widow, to take her as his wife. Now, if that's where the story ended, I've got to tell you, this is one of the most beautiful love stories in the Bible. It's a beautiful story. The daughter that King Saul gave David as a result of him slaying Goliath, he never fully gave. He gave a different daughter, and even then he held her back, and it was just a disaster of a so-called marriage. And here we have David in what appears to be a beautiful love story. David's in his 20s, and this is just a beautiful story, but unfortunately, we haven't finished the story. "When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, 'David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife.'" Beautiful. What a beautiful story. But here we go. "And she arose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, 'Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord.'" Did that tell you something about the character of this woman? I mean, that is one husband-satisfying wife right there. "Abigail hurried, rose, mounted a donkey with her five young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife." Oh, beautiful love story. But the next verse says this, "And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both of them became his wives." What? What? Can you see what's happened? That missing bit of his integrity and character has now become a breach that's growing. And we read of David and Bathsheba and we think, oh my goodness, where did that come from? It was right there from the very beginning. It was undealt with. I don't know if people tried to deal with it, but if they did, they didn't get very far. So integrity, when you're a person of integrity, you're honest about yourself. You know, if David was honest about himself, he would have said, you know, I really have... I have a problem with sex. I crave it. I don't have it in check. I've got to be honest with where I'm at, and I've got to make those allowances. And he didn't do it. It means you're being honest about the reality you face. So the truth. integrity involves building trust with others, how you interact with others. Eventually, David learned how to do that. And integrity involves continuing to serve others. And when David stopped doing those three things, he reached bottom. Bottom. Even though he went on to become the greatest leader the Bible records. So we see that integrity helps you to serve and to deal with negative issues. Integrity requires of you to ask yourself, who am I? Who am I? Where should I be? What should I do you doing? What are my gifts? These are the questions that integrity gets you to ask. Integrity always involves redemption. You see, when David stopped doing what he was called to do, remember that tragic verse which says, it was springtime, the time when kings go out to war, and David remained in the palace. Hang on, David's a king. Ooh, it's the time kings go out to war, and he's in the palace. Uh-oh. He's now not where he should be. And it's then that he hits bottom. In the springtime of that year, 2 Samuel 11, 1. So David was not the only one to suffer when he committed that horrible sin with Bathsheba, when he committed adultery with her. He suffered, his family suffered, generations after him suffered, many people suffered. But God was able to redeem him because he humbled himself. He cried out to God for mercy. The other night, Kim and I tried to watch a movie on Apple TV, and now that Steve Jobs is gone, it sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, and this particular night it didn't work. And so we had to go and watch commercial television, and we just turned it on. The first thing it was on, it was My Week with Marilyn. I don't know if anyone saw that. Apparently a true story about someone in England who spent a week with Marilyn Monroe when she was there. And if you know anything about Marilyn Monroe, she was an exceptionally beautiful woman, but as thick as two bricks. And the thing that stood out to us was, as we were watching this, she is forgetting her lines. She can't put a sentence together. She's arriving on set 2 hours late. But she's got all these people around her. Some she's paying, back in the 1950s, $2,000 a week just to be in her entourage to tell her that she's the greatest actor that's ever lived. And they continually told her, you are the best, you are great, they're all nothing, you're the one that everyone wants to see. And she was continually being told lies. That is not being a person of integrity. A person of integrity accepts the truth about themselves and their situation, and it requires humility. It requires humility to be able to do it. So here's the question. We, in order for us as a church to be where we need to be, we need to make sure that we have these little things dealt with in our lives. That's internet porn. That's the checkout chick giving you more change than you deserve. That's someone congratulating you for something you didn't do. That little thing there, that pop rivet that is supposed to hold your life together, can pop out and not be there over the little things that, if left unchecked, become big breaches in our life. So here's the question. Will you be someone who says, God, help me to be a person of integrity?
The first step to wholeness will always require humility. Will you be humble? Allow yourself to be shaped. Will you commit to being a person of integrity? More from Dr. Corbett next week. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters, including tonight's program, Integrity, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. For regular updates and special offers, please visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/findingtruthmatters. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.